Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world, from the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines. You'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to Building Fortunes Radio on www.buildingfortunesradio.com. And if you are listening in here on this time specifically and you're alive, you're listening to our Citizens for Health very special segment. There's a segment that we do live at noon on Friday with the Citizens for Health attorney, Jim Turner. And Jim is a really great gentleman who shares a lot of information with a lot of people. He's been doing this for over 40 years, been running Citizens for Health for over the 20 that we referenced over here. And it's always got some really great information, and he has a great way of explaining it so regular people can understand it as well. He has been associated with this kind of industry, like we said, since the 1960s. Was one of the first Ralph Nader Raiders, I think we would call it affectionately, and is very associated with all the things that are happening right now as well, and we're going to cover a couple of topics. But we always have a new listening audience that hear Jim Turner for the very first time, so I want him to be able to explain a little bit about himself, what Citizens for Health does. I'm going to tell you to grab a pen and go to citizens.org. Citizens, CITIZENS.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter so you always get the latest news that's happening across the nation and what's happening in this industry. And I'm going to be quiet and let Jim Turner introduce himself, Citizens for Health, and then we'll get wrapped into this week's training. So go ahead, Jim, over to you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Peter. Thanks. Just a quick thumbnail sketch about Citizens for Health. It came into existence in 1993 and worked really hard for that first year to get the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act passed by Congress. It was very successful. The bill passed almost unanimously, both houses of Congress. And Citizens for Health was sort of the linchpin in a campaign that generated over 1.5 million letters to Congress, letters and postcards. This is before the Internet. It has done the same kind of campaign to keep organic back in about 2000, and it's worked hard to keep the FDA from undermining dietary supplements with various what we consider to be ill-thought-out regulations, and successfully blocked them from doing that. And one very very interesting situation was when Senator Dorgan. Introduced a bill to severely restrict dietary supplements. Senator McCain and Dorgan together was bipartisan, and they had the NFL and the baseball, National Baseball, the Basketball League, all the sports folks were supporting creating steroids and other products that were, they claim, we say were polluting dietary supplements. They were going to make them all dietary supplements and restrict dietary supplement access. It was a really, really draconian bill, and it was introduced on February 1st, and by the end of February, the senators had withdrawn it because they'd gotten so much mail against it. It's interesting, McCain's up for re-election again this year, and he was in a re-election at that point, and it looked like his opponent was going to really take it on and push it hard against him, so he backed off under that onslaught. I just put these things out there to give you kind of a feel of what the politics is like when we're dealing with these very very hot issues to the public, but which don't really make it very far in the news media. In fact, I'm kind of suspicious that maybe the things that get in the news are there to divert us from real things that are going to affect our lives. So that's my background on Citizens for Health. I started out in this work in 1968 working with Ralph Nader, and I did a study on the FDA called The Chemical Feast, the Nader Report on Food Protection at the FDA, and had a pretty big shake-up effect on the FDA, and then I've been involved in a whole series of campaigns on FDA stuff ever since then. We started this law firm just after I left Nader, and we've been carrying on those campaigns ever since. The law firm is Swanken & Turner here in Washington. Started in 1973. So, Peter, ask me some questions about what's going on today.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Well, one of the newest things that are happening is that we're going to cover a couple of topics, but one of them is we wanted to complete or continue the conversation we had last week on GMO and GMO labeling. And it's kind of fascinating the contradiction sometimes between, you know, this has to be labeled, this doesn't have to be labeled, these are the claims, these are whatever, and how in the world now there's a lot of legislation going on that companies can not label stuff is somewhat perplexing. I think I was just reading something in one of the news things that Taiwan is basically, you know, forcing everybody, you know, Taiwan is forcing everybody to label their GMO stuff and eliminating some stuff from children's food lunches and things like that. And you wonder why in our country there's the reason to suppress GMO labeling. So can you help clean up what I just said and
tell
us about what's happening?
The interesting situation there on GMO labeling, and there are all kinds of little nooks and crannies in the discussion. So, for example, the FDA does not like GMO because GMO stands for genetically modified organism, and they claim there are not actually any genetically modified organisms. There are only organisms that are modified by genetic technology. So there's that little side issue going on. But I think the big picture is that the genetically modified product industry, which is basically Monsanto and its allies, has been shoving this stuff down the throat of Americans and the world for years, starting all the way back in the early 1990s. And Europe was the first one to really push back and, in fact, got an apology from the then-head of Monsanto for the bad behavior that Monsanto had been displaying in the marketplace by not only denying the labeling but misrepresenting all kinds of information. And the Europeans just got sick and tired of that. Now it's spreading through other parts of the world. But in the United States, you know, Monsanto and its pals have a lot of money and they can influence elections. And so they have worked really hard, blocked a referendum in California and in Washington State. They were not able to block one in Vermont. It passed in Vermont. It actually goes into effect shortly. One of the arguments that Citizens for Health has made all these years on GMOs is that not only are they misleading for consumers and to put the products out without their labels makes it impossible for consumers to express their desires and their choices, but we've also said it's misleading the food industry. And we've worked with the retail food industry, and in fact, Citizens for Health was able to work with the National Trade Association of Supermarkets to get some of its information on GMOs into some of the publicity that they put out. And we've also worked with the manufacturers, and we've worked with the Institute for Responsible Technology, which is the main driving force for labeling of GMOs. And what we've watched happen over the years is that the battle has actually begun to turn against Monsanto. So, for example, they tried to undercut the Vermont law by getting a law passed through Congress that would ban all states from making laws for their own state. And that bill passed the House, but it did not get through the Senate. And it was an interesting situation because there was a lot of push from senators saying, we think it should be labeled. And there ended up being a compromise that was going to it looked like it was going to get through, in which they would be in agreement to put the fact that a product was treated with genetically modifying technologies inside the checkout code box, the universal product code box. And so you would, if you had a reader, you could read and find out whether the food was GMO food or not. But if you didn't have a reader, you couldn't. Well, this was such a not transparent. It was such a transparent non-transparency that there was a lot of anger that emerged. And that bill did not make it through the Senate.
When I hear that, I think of Ralphie on Christmas Story, like with the Ovaltine, how he had to have the secret decoding message, you know, listen to the radio show every Sunday and then kind of figure that stuff out. I mean, how difficult are they trying to make it, you know? That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it's you wonder where these people put their brains when they go to work, both the economic people and the political people. But part of what happened, we live in a democracy, so everybody has always said, Churchill said, it's a terrible way to govern things. The only fact is every other way is worse. What you have here is, because it's a democracy, you got all kinds of stuff going on and pushing and pulling, and erupting this way and erupting that way. And so what happened in the middle of this battle as it was going through the Senate is that the food industry stopped being a strong advocate for blocking GMO labeling, leaving Monsanto and its chemical industry pals stuck out in the Netherlands, so to speak. And gradually, senators started relaxing their position, being not so pro-Monsanto. And then, interestingly enough, I think we mentioned on the show last week, Campbell Soup has announced that it's planning to go full bore, no GMOs, labeling of GMOs as much as it can, and that is, it's label everything and minimize the use of GMOs as part of an overall plan. So it's kind of interesting to see that. It means, I believe, that everyone in the industry is going to be pushed in the direction of having to comply with the Vermont law. And one of the things that happens is, if you comply with the state law, there's no point. Generally speaking, there's no point in making a separate label for other states. So I think we're going to start seeing non-GMO labeling spreading. And there are tens of thousands of companies out there, mostly the small ones, but they're out there who do, in fact, apply to the non-GMO certifying group that lets them put the certified non-GMO label on. So it's an interesting issue to watch unfold, because one of the things that is pretty clear, I know when I was studying political science back in college, I was at Ohio State, and one of the mantras of the political science department, and particularly the leader of the department, was the currency of politics is people or money. If you don't have people, then you have to have money. So when you see somebody like Monsanto putting, they put about $50 million into defeating the public referendum in California on GMO labeling, you see them putting that kind of money into something, you know they don't have the people. That's what happens. Huge amounts of money, and you just displace the will of the people. Now what's happening is the people's voice is getting heard more and more. And Monsanto and the FDA and their other allies are pushing the envelope harder and harder and creating more problems. So we have a fascinating situation just this week. The new commissioner of the FDA was approved by a Senate panel, and two senators opposed it and said they will try to block, they're considering blocking the appointment. One of them is Senator Sanders, who was running for president, and says this guy, whose name is Robert Califf, is way too close to the pharmaceutical industry. And by the way, one of the ways you can tell that somebody's too close to a regulated industry is when they start recusing themselves from reviewing certain areas of regulation. So the new commissioner designate, Califf, has said there are a number of drug companies which he cannot be involved in reviewing their approvals because he's got too close a relationship with them. In fact, it's a pretty tragic to see the regulatory process depreciated down to the point where people who are in charge of regulation can't regulate because they're too close to the people that are supposed to be regulated. But the other person that is opposing Senator Califf, Dr. Califf, is Senator Murkowski from Alaska, because she objects to genetically engineered salmon being put in the market without being labeled. And her worry, she's opposed to the genetically engineered salmon because of the main worry about that process. And this is the first edible meat that is going to be genetically engineered, and FDA just approved it toward the end of last year. And the problem that everyone who is concerned about GMOs points to here is that if a GMO-modified salmon or genetically modified salmon makes it into the wild, it could contaminate the entire salmon supply, and there would no longer be any ocean-grown salmon or any salmon that could be considered to be the pure salmon that you imagine when you're thinking of Alaska. And Senator Murkowski is threatening to block Dr. Califf until GMO labeling is put on salmon. So we'll see as things unfold over the next few weeks, or could be a few days, whether this particular nomination does get approved. It's interesting that you have a Republican and a Democrat both saying they don't trust this guy, or at least they don't trust the process that he's supposed to be approving. And then the previous commissioner had to recuse herself from dealing with mercury in dental fillings because she was a former board member and advisor to the largest, the second largest distributor of mercury fillings. So you have a, big issue, and here comes the major number one health person to deal with all the health issues, and she has to say, I can't deal with that one because I'm too close to the company. New guy's coming in, I can't deal with these various drug companies because I'm too close to those companies. I think that in the final analysis, when we look it all over, the regulatory system's broken. And it's pretty likely that the FDA, which regulates 35% of the gross national product, is very much a part of why our healthcare costs are as high as they are. But that's our GMO discussion for today. Peter, do you have some more questions you want me to focus on? Or?
Actually, let's do our little commercial break. We'll come back on the other side of this, but we're listening to Jim Turner. Jim's going to introduce a little bit about, we're switching subjects here, a commercial that we did from a radio show previously called Zapne, Zapne. You can find it in the Citizens for Health store. So go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, this is a product that we support and feel strongly about. It's a natural acne treatment. It comes from a freshwater lake in Russia, and it's been used, the ingredients have been used for over 100 years in skincare. It's a thoroughly complies with the FDA monograph on acne treatments. It's called Zapne, and you can get it directly from the Zapne company, or you can come to Citizens for Health and get it through our website. But it's a product that you should know about, and there's a good Zapne program that we did early, Peter did, with the developer of this product in the U.S., a doctor who has been working on skincare for years. It talks about its details. This particular ad refers to that program, and it would be worth your while, if you're concerned about acne, to just listen to that program and check this product out.
I'll tell you, we have a special segment on Zapne on Building Fortunes Radio, so here we go with our little commercial. Here we are.
You've been listening to the Zapne Radio Show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on BuildingFortunesRadio.com with Dr. Gregory Robertson and Peter Mingles. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Zafni is the all-natural treatment for acne. This new product, Zafni, is a product anyone with acne can use with great results after only one treatment. It takes only 15 minutes to apply once a week as needed. Zafni is an all-natural alternative to harsh chemicals that are difficult to apply and can be potentially harmful. You can find out more by going to Zafni.com. When ordering Zafni, please do it through the store for Citizens for Health on the website www.citizens.org or through the link on the Zafni Show segment on buildingfortunesradio.com. Dr. Gregory Robertson is here and actively building a sales force to spread the word about Zafni. Visit buildingfortunesradio.com and click on the Zafni Radio Show link to learn more and hear our archived radio shows. Thanks for listening to Zafni Radio. And now back to our show.
Okay, we're back. Peter Mingles here with Jim Turner. We're on Building Fortunes Radio. This is our very special Citizens for Health segment. We do this every Friday at noon if you're listening in live. Or you can always go to buildingfortunesradio.com, find the Citizens for Health segment you can listen to and share these with anyone you want to as well. Make sure you go to citizens.org, sign up for the newsletter, because this is where Jim and his organization send out information of stuff that, quite honestly, you probably don't read a lot about. So you'll see the things that they're taking action on and the stuff that they are doing. And, of course, Jim, you said the currency of many things is money and people. And you have both, but we always, you know, there's never a lack of need for more money. So if you're buying something, check out that citizens.org store as it starts to grow as well and purchase your products from there, because some of the proceeds help fund some of Jim's operations. So, Jim, we kind of talked a lot about GMO stuff. We're going to be running out of time. You had two other topics that you wanted to bring up here. So
well, yeah, very quickly, it's two things that are going on in the court here in D.C., two FDA decisions. One concerns mercury fillings, and the other concerns a label on soy products that says that they're heart healthy. We're involved in suits challenging the FDA on both of these points, one of them being that there's an enormous amount of evidence that soy products are not heart healthy, and in fact, the European Union has rejected a heart healthy label because of the evidence. The decision was made by FDA back in about 2008 to allow that label, and between then and now, there's been increasing amount of data that unfermented soy is a very a potentially very serious problem for at least some members of the population. And we believe that it's improper for the FDA to have put a heart-healthy label on soy, and we're involved with we have a coalition sort of folks who are opposing that. One of them, the lead, is the Weston A. Price Foundation, and they've been very, very diligent on the soy question, and the FDA has now said no. They're not going to change their mind. They're not going to have a hearing. They're not going to do anything to address the soy issues that have come up since their approval. And so we're in federal court saying we don't think that's right. And we're also in federal court saying we don't think it's right for the FDA to say that mercury fillings are safe when their own internal advisory committees and their own internal scientists have said that there should be other methods of doing fillings that are used as the primary way of filling teeth. So officially, based on the science, the FDA is on one position, but when they come out to speak to the public, they take a different position. We're challenging both of those. But the interesting underlying issue is that the FDA's position is citizens don't have the right to challenge the FDA in court. They're saying citizens are not allowed to do that. That only an individual who can prove conclusively that they have been harmed is allowed to come forward, and then they have to show that the FDA ruling is the thing that harmed them. And we're challenging that position on the FDA in both of these cases. And it's interesting to be involved in these issues, particularly over time, because as you peel it back, you see more and more how tightly the regulated industries have control over what the FDA decides. I mean, the very notion that citizens do not have the right to challenge FDA rulings is anathema to the people who wrote the Administrative Procedures Act, 70, 80 years ago. The whole idea they had was that this act was going to allow the public to participate in regulation making. But the FDA's official position is, nope, they're not going to allow that. And they're asking the courts to reinforce that for them. So, Peter, those are the two issues that we had that I wanted to just highlight briefly.
Yeah,
any questions about that?
Well, yeah, it's almost like you have to be Donald Trump, you know, the example in the political elections, someone that's probably not going to be reliant on fundraising to be able to do this sort of stuff. So, you know, Donald Trump and any other billionaire might be able to take on the FDA, but short of that, the lay people, the regular people, and anybody below billionaire status is going to be, like, out of luck. This is absolutely
well,
crazy.
And that's it. And then the worst of it is that when you're a small business and you're trying to do something that is a little bit innovative, the big business guys go to the FDA and say, crush that little guy, and they go out and crush him. And then where? How do you challenge them? I mean, really, it's a tough situation. But it's getting clearer and clearer to the public and to certain politicians. I mentioned Murkowski, for example, that their own interests, their own states, their own constituents and so forth are constantly being raped by the FDA. And so it's important for us to really focus that and get the judges to decide. And there are some, you know, light openings in the battle.
Right, and the amazing thing is that all of this stuff would really be just covering over all the citizens if it wasn't for the Internet. The Internet has probably been the greatest tool, I think, that's out there for awareness. Now, it's a great misinformation tool as well, but at least it's bringing up the issues. So it's kind of like the Donald Trump of the world. I don't want to endorse Donald Trump, but in the example of him doing the things that he's doing, like, even though he's really sloppy and doesn't, maybe not even very smart sometimes in the things that he says, at least he's bringing up those issues, and the Internet is bringing up these issues. So if you go to the Internet and you type in, like, GMOs, or you go in there and type in Monsanto, you'll get a whole bunch of different views. Some of them are right. Most of them are kind of weird. But the reality is that, you know, Jim, if it wasn't for the Internet, no one would know any of this stuff would be going on. We'd just be happily going around our lives, if you will.
The Internet is just completely opening things up. But remember, radio opens things up when it came on the land, too. And before that, the telegraph. I mean, it's very interesting. These as we improve, as we speed up and make richer the communicating tools, we discover more and more of this chicanery that's going on just outside the light of the media, let's say. And, you know, right now... this Internet stuff is very fascinating, and it's also one has to be careful about arguing what is good and bad information on the Internet, because some things that seem totally weird and unsupportable the first time you read them, if you go and dig in it yourself, you say, holy cow, this is right. I can't believe that this is what's happened.
Right.
So, and I think it's going to heat up over time, and I do think the Internet's making a big difference in these battles on food.
It is definitely making a big difference and a lot of awareness, because I wouldn't have been able to do a lot of the research or seen a lot of the things. And then you have to kind of just have the wisdom to kind of try to figure it out. And unfortunately, we're all dealing with that, you know, certain level of not really sure what's going on. So even more reasons why you want to donate and do the different things to organizations like Citizens for Health, because I could use my money to help Jim, who's really into doing the research, get the word done and the stuff, so I'm aware, but my money can actually do some speaking for me as well. So
true.
Buy from
let me, by the way, let me mention, it just occurred to me that I saw a movie two nights ago. It was the Washington showing, and it's going to be coming out in February around the country. It's called Stink, STINK, Stink. Mm-hmm. It's about fragrances that are used in our cleaning products and hundreds of products. It's an extremely good movie about what's going on in the chemicals that are in our households. Now, it gets some into food a little bit, but mostly it's about cleaning products, and it's a very, very interesting and moving story. Stink. Watch for it, and I'll probably talk about it again on one of our other programs.
Okay, perfect. Well, we're going to call it a radio show. We're almost out of time. Jim, thanks for being here. Go to citizens.org. I'm not going to play our commercial because we're running out of time. But, Jim, thanks for being here, and we're going to catch you next week.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to next week.
Yep, and bye for now.
Thanks. Bye.